I'm Frank Vaughn. It's August 16th, 2025, and congratulations. We surpassed 30,000 subscribers on YouTube. I don't usually put much stock in numbers, but it's a milestone. And so I want to thank you guys for that, because we certainly aren't being done any favors by the algorithm. We're doing everything organically. It's word of mouth. The second last video that I did, be third last when this is published, seems to have really resonated with people, where I talked about the lack of private property or of any kind, not just your house, but also plastic straws, guns, and just about anything else you think you own, you don't actually have a right to in Canada. That resonated, and it continues to be watched, and it continues to be useful. And my understanding is, at one of the Alberta Next panels, one of the audience members referenced one of my videos to agreement with the room. So this project is useful, and every single one of you out there, whether you like, whether you share, whether you tell your friends about the videos, whether you donate, we're building it, just us. It's pretty cool, and we passed 30,000 last night, just after the stream with Clyde ended. That was a three-hour marathon, and then there was the Discord afterwards, and so we actually passed it in the Discord. I was kind of keeping an eye on it, because I would share it with the stream if it had happened in real time, but it didn't. Things happen in their own time, but it's pretty cool all the same. Doing it organically is not exactly easy. Now, you folks are making it easier. I think we're actually getting some momentum behind this now. So anyway, congratulations to you. The only other thing I want to talk about today, and I'm going to try and remain focused, is the eagle and the bear. This notion that I've had since the 90s. I recall, some people won't believe it, but I don't care. I was 10 years old or 11 years old. It was 1990, 1991. I was at my dad's place for the weekend, and I was watching the news, and the concept of nuclear war hit me for the first time. That at the time and at that age, I was facing my own mortality. I had been for a few years. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I was watching a movie with my mother, and the lead character was Michael Landon. Some of you might remember him from Little House on the Prairie. Really good show, even to this day. Very wholesome and realistic. Michael Landon's character in that show wasn't against punching somebody in the face for doing stupid things and being a man. But I digress. He was the father figure in the show, and he died. And I remember very distinctly freaking out and needing to call my dad at 9 or 9:30 at night. My dad always went to bed early and rose early. And I just had to hear his voice. I never forgot that. But anyway, I was processing that concept, the mortality of my dad, my own mortality, and then I came across this concept of human mortality, that there was a possibility in our time that we had the power to kill every single living human and end the whole damn thing before we even achieve extraplanetary greatness. Now, I was a 10-year-old. This is the sort of stuff I thought about at that age. And from that point forward, because I was always more interested, even at that age, in nonfiction versus fiction, my study of Russia and American relations led me to believe that a coming together of the eagle and the bear was in the mutual interest of humanity. This was before the really true rise of China and many of the other geopolitical events that have happened since then. That's a long time ago. But that's remained. This concept that why are Russia and America enemies doesn't make any sense to me. And I thought there might be a coming together in the post-Soviet era under Yeltsin, but Russia was so corrupt, and quite frankly, so was American official politics. Bush's, Clinton's, Obama, which had Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, which was basically a continuation of the same style of government that has continued largely uninterrupted. There's been some hiccups here and there since 1963. Many of you might know what happened in 1963, but again, I don't want to digress too far. And then along came 2016, 2015, and the rise of Trump and the Republican Party against all odds, and the potential to actually have a different American foreign policy. Now, the whole thing got derailed in the first term. Russiagate, which was fake. piss gate, pardon me, the golden shower gate, whatever you want to call it, was fake. Then they unleashed the respiratory infection, which the vast majority of people survived without a problem. They tried to pin that on him. The whole thing was derailed. And a lot of stuff that should have got done didn't get done. The meetings with Trump, between Trump and Putin, never happened because he couldn't do it. And so here we are, all these years later, all of these iterations, a million plus dead in Ukraine, and finally, Trump and Putin meet for an individual summit. Putin riding with Trump in the official White House motorcade, probably speaking English the entire time. Do you guys know the Russian president speaks several languages? His English might be rusty because I did note that there was a translator present during their conversations, because he probably hasn't had much call to speak English since the isolation of Russia has been ongoing for over a decade. But one of the things, because it's so funny to me that the talking point going into the summit was Trump dare not make a deal with Russia without including Europe and Ukraine. And this was the anti-Trump forces on the right and left. That was the talking point. He better not make a deal. And then they do their press statement. It wasn't really a press conference. It was a press statement. And they say, we didn't make a deal. And then the message switches from, he can't make a deal, to, he didn't make a deal. See, he sucks. Without even missing a beat. The fact is, once again, Putin, as he did in the Tucker Carlson interview, reveals that he is very knowledgeable of geopolitics and the history of Russian civilization. People need to understand, Russia doesn't view itself as just another country, just another state competing in the world. They view themselves as the head of a distinct civilization. And whether you agree with that or not, doesn't matter. That's how they see themselves. And they've earned the right to see themselves that way against all odds, having a geographically indefensible location on the planet. They have no natural defenses, except in the center of the country, there's a mountain range, which is altogether useless. When European armies continually invade Russia, you know, for all the talk of Russians are about to take over Europe, on the balance, does anybody have a guess? How many times Russia has been invaded by Europe versus the other way around? I don't know. I'll let you look into that. The Russian people and Russian leadership, in my mind, has every right to be skeptical of Europe. So anyway, one of the honors, and it is an honor from the Russian perspective, that Putin paid to Donald Trump and the American people yesterday was he ended the press conference, or whatever you want to call it, speaking English. Putin does not speak English as a rule. He speaks Russian wherever he goes, because he is the head, not just of a nation, but of a distinct Russian civilization. It's a point that he makes. When he does speak English, it's a token of respect. It's an indication of respect. If we had any vision, including here in Canada, because we could throw the beaver in too, the eagle, the bear, and the beaver. Now, you might laugh at the whole beaver notion, but think of how powerful a beaver can actually be. They reshape landscapes. A beaver dam can create a pond and create a whole new aquatic system that didn't exist before. And when that beaver dam goes, the entire thing changes and a new system comes. A beaver is actually a very powerful transitory animal. So if we were smart, we would join this effort of detente with Russia, recognizing their civilization, recognizing their sphere, and making a deal. A powerful, resurgent North America, isolated to a degree, not getting into imperial conflicts, which admittedly, the stuff in the Middle East creates a bit of a dicey situation. We're just going to set that aside. I don't want to get lost in the weeds here. I just want to talk about specifically North American relations with the Russian Federation. In my mind, there's no need for it to be bad. It would be good for the world. There's no reason for the animosity. There's a long and storied history of beneficial relations at times in the past, which is never focused on, between Russia and the United States. And I have to ask, with Europe constantly clamoring for war, with Europe sending Mark Carney here on behalf of the World Economic Forum, the central bankers and the financial interests and the international class to run Canada into the ground. And there are people who say, oh, that's not what's happening. There's a lot of really ignorant people in this country. And I couldn't give a good damn if you like me or not. You see, because I long for a politics which, instead of trying to figure out what people think already and catering to that, actually tells you wisdom and argues with you until you get it. I'm not a politician, but I still practice that notion. I could give a damn if people understand. What has Europe done for us in the last 100 years? What has Europe done for North America? Except gotten millions of our people killed in 2 world wars that we got involved in because of our ties to Europe. What has Europe done in Ukraine except aggravate a war that didn't even need to happen, as Putin recognized yesterday in the summit? If Trump had been president, the war doesn't happen. Putin's words, not Trump's. And I believe that. I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe that in spite of the fact that the Americans bombed Iranian nuclear complexes, Trump managed to avoid getting sucked into a neocon regime change war. For now. For now. We don't know what tomorrow brings. I'm just talking about today. I do not believe that Donald Trump, and I'm not lionizing Donald Trump. I'm pissed off with him about the Epstein stuff. Okay? And there's a number of other things that I can be critical of. But there's been a ton of good news coming out of the United States. It's basically the only game in town. It's the only game in town. It's the only country thinking outside the box of Europe. What has Europe done for us? We talk about the celebratory heritage. We talk about the Westminster system that we brought from England. That piece of garbage. After this is published, go back to the third last video. Watch that video. You don't have anything in Canada. You don't even elect your government. You elect parliamentarians, and they know who they're going to appoint as the government when they get there. And then they're dispensed with and sent home by the likes of Mark Carney as he carves up the country, as he spends us into debt, as the public service that supports him is about to face job cuts of 60,000, which nobody's going to cry about here in Canada, as the canola industry is being destroyed by China and the Carney government is silent in spite of the fact that they are so elbows up ridiculous when it comes to America. That nobody, not the media, not Polyev, not Carney, nobody's telling you that what America is doing on tariffs is reciprocal. They're simply matching the trade barriers that we've put up to them. There's nothing unreasonable about their position. When Trump talks about the large scale of crime in Canada and fentanyl, he's simplifying a very real problem, which is the rampant drug trafficking empire that Canada has become. And over the course of time, I've attempted to put numbers to it. I've shown you the source documentation. It's not some conspiracy theory. We supply 80%+ of Australian methamphetamine comes from here. Isn't that so good? It comprises probably 1 in 10 real dollars of our GDP. And we talked about fictional rents. We talked about the fakery. The whole country's fake. And where do we get these ideas? Where do we get this fakeness from? Europe. Europe's not the center of civilization anymore. They gave it away. They've been committed to risking nuclear warfare and the destruction of Europe over Ukraine. When peace was on the table, Europe flew their people in and convinced Zelensky not to sign and kept the war going. Not just once, but on multiple occasions. What has Europe done for us? I think the channel needs to change. If we had true visionary leadership in Canada, we wouldn't be looking to Europe. We would be looking to the United States and we'd be saying, hey, we've done a lot of business with you. We should probably create conditions where we can continue to do business. And when Doug Ford rages about Campbell's soup and how Campbell's is bad and how they're misleading everybody, but at the same time awards American contracts, sorry, awards contracts to build a hospital to an American company and doesn't tell you about it. They're all fake. That ignorance that I talked about earlier. They're taking advantage of it. They know there's a huge segment of the Canadian population that's easily manipulated, and they all take advantage of you. Doug Ford, Mark Carney, every single premier to one degree or another, and Pierre Poilievre. They cater to the ignorance. None of them try to change it. None of them try to wake you up. None of them try to tell you how much of our prosperity is built around our proximity to the United States, and it ain't going to change. There's nothing but pain. Ignoring geopolitical reality, geopolitics, geographic politics, the reality of the ground under your feet and your position on the face of the planet. We are right beside the United States. They're our best partner. They're irreplaceable. And even if China was somehow magically right beside us, why would we ever replace the United States with a communist dictatorship? Outsourcing manufacturing to China, making them prosperous and hoping they would magically transition into a liberal democracy is a complete and total failure. Where did we get that idea from? Europe. Where did the mass immigration idea come from? Europe. Where did the World Economic Forum come from? Europe. Everything bad that has infected and destroyed Western civilization has come from Europe. So why are we looking to Europe? They should be reduced to vassal states of better, stronger nations. And this is a thinking that's in its infancy. It may never see the light of day where North America takes its rightful place as Fortress North America, breadbasket to the world, respecting a multipolar world, making deals, making peace with the other nations. And if India and China want to fight it out between them as to who's dominating Asia, so be it. Let them go. We'll just sit back and prosper. Do you want to get rich? Do you want to have a prosperous century where not just you get to finish your life, but your kids actually get to live their entire lives with hope, with the idea of home ownership in reach, lower taxes, smaller government, the machinations of Europe far away, and the focus being North American prosperity? Avoiding nuclear war, avoiding imperial wars, avoiding European entanglements. I'll tell you, it seems like a no-brainer to me. But where's the political leadership? It's hard for me to maintain my composure and my self-control when I talk about these things because it's so fundamentally clear. And yet politicians have no courage in this country to tell the truth of Fortress North America, of the North American identity, of the North American ideal. That the bear, the beaver, and the eagle could do very well for ourselves in the Arctic. Because you got to remember, you know, people are talking about we got to stop the Arctic from melting. It's been melting for 10,000 years. It's a process that's likely to continue. They said it would be ice-free 20 years ago. It's not. But one day, they'll probably be true. Arctic ice mass has been, it's part of an ongoing process. And that's why the world is getting ready to take advantage of it. The way that we look at the world, we're always rotating it like this, but we might have to actually change the axis that we're looking on, recenter our thinking, recenter the world. I made the argument the other day that the focus shifts from the Atlantic being the center of the world to the Pacific, but it's actually already the Pacific, and it might shift to the Arctic in the next 20 to 30 years. That's a whole new world. That's a whole new way of seeing things. Imagine a navigable Arctic Sea, how that changes geopolitics, and how a North American bloc with a decent relationship with the Russian civilization could be strong for everybody. And if Europe wants to continue down the road of national and identitarian suicide, you know, you think it's bad in Canada, where we're not allowed to have the identity that we used to have, that we have to celebrate every other nation and every other culture and every other ideology, but we're not allowed to have a core identity ourselves. And you think that's hyperbole. That's the statements of our government. We're a post-national state with no core identity. That's their official position. Everybody else is to be celebrated. We have nothing. That sucks. But if you think it's bad here, Europe's going through the same thing. Europe's going through the same thing. So why do we look to Europe? What have they done for us? America's always been a better friend. America's been our best friend. I hate using the word friend in politics, but honestly, if there's ever been a relationship between two nations where the word friend applies, it's the United States and Canada. But if we don't like the word friend, best geopolitical partnership the world has ever seen, and we have a government, and we seemingly have an opposition, and we seemingly have premiers who just want to torpedo it to score cheap political points with an ignorant population that has been indoctrinated to hate the orange man. And the thing that you got to remember is when the orange man is gone, America remains, and we got to live with the consequences of what we've done here. So it may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, it may not happen in the coming weeks or months, but I pray and I will work towards a changing political vision, a revolution in our geopolitics, where we start to look south very seriously and we stop treating Russia as though there's some great big enemy about to march across Europe. Do you know how foolish that is? There's no impending takeover of Latvia or Estonia or Finland or anybody else. It's not happening. The expansionist Russian menace sweeping into Europe is a figment of European imaginations. They've always, in Europe, and you have to understand this, the great fear of the bear is very real in the European mind. That has nothing to do with us. Why are we copying it? Why are we taking on their psychological baggage? We got issues of our own to take care of. We should be carving something unique, something better. We deserve it. The people certainly deserve it. The world would benefit from it. So let's think outside the box. At any rate, congratulations on getting us to 30,000 subscribers. That's all you. There's nothing I can do about that. You guys have been doing it. It's awesome. Continue to like, continue to share. I appreciate it all. If you want to donate via the website to keep this thing going, please do that as well. And thanks to everybody who has. It's pretty cool. We're doing something organic, and I love it. See you in the next one.